God's changed my ways. Changed my ways. Those evil. So I set out, cross that way, strike them down, to make them pay, and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't.
Remember when Donald Trump said, yeah, you know, maybe, I mean, I just feel like so much of what's going on these days reminds me of, again, Dan Aykroyd's Erwin Mainway character, you know? Donald Trump reminds me of Erwin Mainway. When Donald Trump, like, when his complete 180 on Julian Assange, for example, in WikiLeaks, you know, from the campaign trail. Who was the late night pundit who mentioned that? I forget. Somebody talked about that. I'm sure several folks. I mean, just the complete night and day. But he's a salesman, he says, you know. So he's Erwin Mainway. So I think of what he said in the wake of the Parkland synthetic terror event, you know, the incident. You know, by the way, speaking of that, you know, the Daily Beast and others reported the latest on that stuff. I mean, there are several latest, but one of the latest is the Daily Beast article headline, Parkland shooter Nicholas Cruz set to receive hundreds of thousands from life insurance policy. So he's the co-beneficiary of a policy that'll apparently pay him $400,000+, which... No, so now the public defender team is trying to resign, you know, because, I mean, sharks smell blood in the water, and so I'm sure the $400,000, if he does inherit it, will evaporate almost immediately in legal fees. So the public defense team is trying to resign because obviously if he inherits $400,000, he's no longer indigent. And, you know, that's another thing. You read the story, and let me open it real quick, actually. The kid was 18 years old. You know, he can't run a microwave. That's what James Sneed said, the Sneed family that Cruz was staying with. Sneed said, we used to call it adulting 101 because he couldn't run a microwave, but somehow... He pulls off a Jason Bourne-style operation with costume changes, you know, going to different floors, trying to shoot out the window to create a sniper's nest, but then he can't do that. So calmly, coolly, he changes his clothes again because, remember, it was Stacy LaPelle, the teacher, who said, you know, I looked down the hall and I saw this, you know, I saw the shooter in full body armor and a helmet, and I said, why are the police here? Remember that? So he can execute that even though he can't run a microwave. And then you read this story, Daily Beast, you know, Parkland Nicholas Cruz is reportedly set to collect part of an $864,929 life insurance policy. Where's the rest of that story? Maybe this isn't the version that I read, but it talked about how public defenders, the version of the story that I read, I thought it was the Daily Beast article, mentioned that, you know, the sort of controversy over the public defense that Nicholas Cruz, you know, you have to be in a declared state of indigency to have public defense, and that requires a net worth of $25,000 or less, I believe. And most of that stuff is gone. So part of it's in here. That's very curious. It reads, since the defender's office can only defend impoverished, quote-unquote, clients, the office asked the court Wednesday to remove its lawyers from the case. The defendant and counsel were previously unaware of this entitlement. Bruce's lawyers wrote in documents, the law office of the public defender is statutorily prohibited from representing a non-indigent client. But the numbers aren't in here. Where is that story? Maybe it was probably the NPR version. I don't want to get too far afield. So NPR, Parkland shooters, public defenders seek to withdraw because Cruz will inherit money. I think this is the one. Yeah, $430,000. So it reads, last April, Judge Elizabeth Shearer declared Cruz indigent for purposes of the case because even though he had a net worth of $28,000, how does an 18 or 19-year-old kid who doesn't have a place to stay have a net worth of $28,000? Riddle me this, Batman. You know who has money and time to spend it and who seems to get guns and is self-radicalized online? The Manchurian patsies that the FBI has been identifying for decades. That's who has a net worth of $28,000 at 18 years of age who can't run a microwave. What was he? Was it the Dollar Tree store job that he was working? I forget. Some minimum wage job, but somehow he has a net worth of $28,000. And, you know, he's just confessing that the voices in his head told him to take an Uber to go do something that he is not mentally capable of doing. So he does this Jason Bourne thing and then, you know, just wanders around the neighborhood till he, you know, waiting to get picked up. That's because that's perfectly normal. That's what, you know, why wouldn't he? It's these kinds of things are so absurd. Anyway, I lost my train of thought, but before we get too far away, you know, I was going to say I get accused from time to time of being negative. Oh, you're so negative. You just focus on, well, you know, when you see these things all around you, it's, and, you know, people say, well, stop watching the news. That's fine. But then if I go out in public, I see the effects of it in people who are not thinking. They're not thinking, period, let alone critically. They are, you know, it's like bumper bowling. They're just kind of bouncing off the bumpers, coasting through life, not thinking, definitely not thinking critically. So it's inescapable. You know what I'm talking about. So from time to time, I get accused of being negative. Oh, you just focus on the negative. And so to, you know, prove that that's not all I see. I've given kudos where they, you know, are rightfully deserved, I think. I mean, one of the biggest standouts in my mind is CNN's Toxic America series, but that was 9 years ago. So the HLN network ran a segment recently. It was 2 days ago. I was going to play it, but I missed Wednesday's broadcast. Yesterday's broadcast, excuse me. And I was going to play it yesterday. So to prove that I don't just see the negative, here is CNN's airing of the HLN segment. The title of the CNN article with this video in it is, Three Men Invited a Widow to Sit with Them When They Saw Her Eating Alone. Their Facebook post went viral. Go ahead, please.
A guy says his life is forever changed after he invited this elderly woman to eat with him. Jamario Howard says he went to a restaurant with his friends in Alabama. That's when he saw Eleanor sitting all by herself. Thinking he'd hate to eat alone, he went over and he spoke to her. Well, Jamario learned that Eleanor had lost her husband, and the following day would have been their 60th wedding anniversary. So the young man invited Eleanor over to eat with him and his friends. He says this meeting taught him to be kind to others because you just never know what someone else is going through in their own life. Jamario posted the moment on Facebook and got tens of thousands of likes. This story is going so viral right now on so many platforms because it just shows simple kindnesses, just reaching out to a stranger, can really make a difference, Robin.
I really hope that's a, you know, a story that's on the level. I would like to think so, and I think it's great if that's, you know, and I hate to be cynical, but, you know, we talked about, remember the, you know, homeless guy, you know, woman, they start a GoFundMe, the next thing you know, it's a scam. And, you know, it's a national news story. Anyway, this was, to me, if that's a story that's on the level, man, that's heartwarming. That's awesome. I think it's great. We need more of that. More of that should be covered in the mainstream media. There should be more of that sort of heart and behavior. You know what I'm saying? So I don't just notice the bad stuff. But when you see things like a 28-car pileup in, what, the Denver area, I think, and then a bus crashes for no apparent reason, investigators are still trying to determine why. That's, you know, two times. That's coincidence. Is there another one? Will it be enemy action? You know, you just... My cynicism is on high alert all the time. Let's go back to the phones and grab Brian in Washington. Brian, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Brian.
So a minute ago you said, hey, I lost my train of thought. I think it's because you looked at your note from your call screener and you saw my name.
No, actually that wasn't it. I had a thought and then... Because I started down the, you know, this, just the whole, you know, what I refer to as the magician's scarf. You know, you pull on a thread. So I'm pulling on the magician's scarf of the Parkland subject matter. And it's just one psychedelic swatch of cloth after another that people have bought into. You know, there are the mainstream accounts of multiple shooters. And, you know, what's his name at KHOU, who's there for the baseball tryouts and talks to, I forget her name now. But the girl who said there were definitely more than one shooter. It seems like that's what Stacey LaPelle is saying in that ABC News interview. And, you know, how does a kid with nothing have $28,000 when a lot of people... You know, significantly older than Cruz, don't. Where's a kid who is indigent getting $28,000 in guns and, you know, training at with the Adam Waffen folks and, you know, not neo-Nazis and, I mean, you know, and the FBI is always around and he's a person of interest, but we didn't know, you know. I mean, it's just, it's so absurd, all of it. So that's... My mind just started spiraling off into the magician's scarf of swatches of cloth, you know, psychedelic swatches that people have bought into.
Okay, well, I'll keep an open mind to it, Chris, whether I believe that subconscious or factual, you know, I don't trust anybody. I'm going to my grave thinking that way. I have a feeling. But anyway... Not to chastise you and tell you how to run your radio show, Mer Bailey and Lark have warned you, well, Chris, you should turn off the television, Talmud Vision, and stay away from their news and get back to trying to weave your way through this chaotic world. It's what you're talking about, and Lark's always trying to steer me towards, well, what would it be like to be in Chris's shoes, to be a radio host, and you got to kind of stay on topic. The host really appreciates that. It's good radio. So
yeah.
You mentioned...
Well, like I said at the outset of today's broadcast, and Lark's, I'll call it admonition for lack of a better term, or exhortation, back in, I think it was 2013, but I remember a distinct moment where he was just frustrated, and that was, the frustration was aimed at me, not to put words in his mouth, but that was my perception of it. Not that it was aimed at me, but, he was saying, basically, if you're regurgitating these headlines, then you're playing into the social engineering. And I understand that, and I don't want to do that. But what I am trying to do for those, like I said at the outset today, for those who don't know, I'm trying to say, isn't this weird? This shouldn't be, this is wrong. Clearly this is wrong. If you step back and just think about this for one moment, just pause. Don't react. Don't, in a post-truth era, don't just go along with these things in a, FEMA declared state of emergency crisis. Oh my goodness, we can't think, we have to react. No, don't do that. Pause. Isn't this weird? And then for those of us that do see this and know it's weird, I'm just trying to reinforce that in people and mitigate the gaslighting a little bit by saying, yeah, you're not crazy. This is really happening. And in spite of the gaslighting, you're not crazy. So that's the, that's the point of doing those things or talking about things. But I don't want to play into the social engineering. Definitely not.
Weaving through the pinball machine of life, not bumping into every bumper in order to get to the end desired goal. You do it really well, Chris. For the number of times that Lark's name comes up, I still think it was a year ago, you said, I really do want to do the communitarian thing right, but I'm just waiting to get that, the right pieces of the puzzle together, but you still get an encouragement to someday devote a show to Lark and that subject. I'm encouraging it. But moving on to a couple of other things, you mentioned negativity recently. We were at this little tiny biochar burn. It was a beautiful day. Everything was going great. Someone was discussing, oh, it sure is nice. I bought a house. I don't have to rent anymore. And somebody says under their breath, yeah, but you get to pay some property taxes. And somebody turns to him and says, you're so negative. And I'm sitting between both of them, and I said really loud, I hate negative people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a funny thing. Really, why I called, so I don't take up your whole broadcast, we did attend this online live stream of this Southern Washington biochar logging with some agro involvement. These people are addressing all the questions that Jenna and I think about. Well, how are you going to get all this biomass out of the woods? Or are you going to go in and try and make charcoal out of it in the middle of a clear cut? What about the fire hazard? Well, people like Blue Diamond Timber down in California, they've actually allotted a fair amount of money to do research on this. The guys doing the orating, the presentation, in 15 minutes, this guy is getting a spectacular amount of the kind of questions Jenna and I are always asking. Conveyed. Really good 6 hours worth of this.
Interesting. Hold that thought. Let's continue on the other side of the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Phones, Brian in Washington. Go ahead.
You were talking about Trump and Julian Assange and some flip-flopping. We are at this climate associated with timber and biochar symposium. Yesterday, there's a lot of CO2 and carbon credits that are instigating this. And you, somewhat of a biblical interested person, would know there is this game plan about one world currency. Is it going to be carbon credits? I'm trying to light a few fires for you and your listeners that this stuff might be of interest. So one of the presenters is saying, you know, we have this thing called mass timber. Chris, have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
So it's basically laminated and glued together wood products, but they're changing the building codes to go 18 stories. And keeping in mind, Notre Dame, those oak timbers are no longer available, so it might be a good thing. But the way the story goes in this person presenting, he says, you know, we had a symposium a few years back on mass timber, and there were several people that showed up. They said, okay, well, what company are you with? Oh, I'm just Joe Blow. What company with? I'm just a guy off the street, just interested. Well, like Trump and his flip-flopping, come to find out, there was a half dozen people there, and who were they from? What company were they with and not telling? Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and what are they doing there? Well, they know something's coming down the pike, and it's called carbon credits. And they are going to build these buildings. Today's newsfeed, Jenna says, Google's Toronto smart city features mass timber.
Speaking of that, I'm reminded of, was it last year's fires or was it the year before already, where, remember the school that Facebook gave one building to a school, and they were holding school in one of Facebook's buildings, and I was wondering where that was going to end up, and I've been thinking about that recently, actually. And speaking of what you're talking about, you think of Google and Microsoft competing in the smart home business, and your smart meter, and was it Rhonda who said the other day, I want a dumb city with smart people?
I
agree. We need more of those. So I appreciate you jogging my memory. What the train of thought was that I lost track of was Trump's flip-flopping. And so speaking of Parkland, where I was going with that was, his alleged and ostensible support of the Second Amendment and not a constitutional right, but the people's inherent right to keep and bear arms. And for what purpose? Not self-defense, not, hunting or sporting or, but, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people, the inherent right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Anyway, his alleged and ostensible support for the Second Amendment juxtaposed with his statement after Parkland, in Irwin Manway fashion, maybe we just take the guns and then, follow due process later. No, that's not how that works. And so speaking of that, I saw the CNN article, Trump now says parents must vaccinate children in face of measles outbreak. And so that's where I was headed with that.
So, Chris, I've actually scratched your back. I've been a benefit to your interacting with me as opposed to a hindrance.
I would never say you're a hindrance, so.
I don't even like myself most of the time.
I resemble that remark.
Okay, well, I'm going to sign off. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Much appreciated, as always. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour already. And, you know, it's Friday, so I'm going to do this. It's, kind of a cheeky bit of humor. I'm telling you, I mean, man, Donald Trump just seems like you know, he's always said he's the deal guy. He's a salesman. And having him this much in the public eye, you know, he seemed to really, his wheelhouse is the, you know, the apprentice sort of you know, The Apprentice, the WWE stuff, that kind of thing. Where is it, you know, so much of what we see is theatrics. Is he a performance artist? I mean, I think so. You know, the radio host down the street is not the only performance art game in town. I think Donald Trump is. Tucker Carlson admits that he is. He didn't use those words, performance artist, but that's essentially what he described himself as. Anyway, this is just, I don't know. We got to do it. So can we play that clip, please?
They have to get the shot. The vaccinations are so important. This is really going around now. They have to get their shots.
Mr. President, how old is too old to be president?
Well, I think that I just feel like a young man. I'm so young. I can't believe it. I'm the youngest person. I am a young, vibrant man. I look at Joe. I don't know about him. I don't know. I would never say anyone's too old, but I know they're all making me look very young, both in terms of age and I think in terms of energy. I think you people know that better than anybody. Yeah.
So the president who is the oldest, I believe he's the oldest president at the start of his presidency. Older than Ronald Reagan, even. If I remember that correctly, I think Reagan was 69, right? Just under 69, almost not quite 70. Donald Trump was not quite 71. Isn't that right? I think that's right. Anyway, you know, but he identifies as a young, vibrant man. Everybody identifies as something, you know. Bruce Jenner's confused. Now I can't think of her name. What's her name? Which is ironic because, you know, she was raised in a town 18 miles from where I was born. So, what's her name? You know. She identifies one. Everybody, you know, I identify as this or that. It's just, you know, now that's a thing. It's not really a thing, but we're encouraged to believe it's a thing. So Donald Trump, you know, believes he's a young, vibrant man. The Bible says, you know, 60, 70 years, maybe an extra 10. If we're lucky, you know, you go through the Psalms, you see that. You see it in other places in the Bible. And, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's all relative, you know, compared to Adam or Seth or Enoch or Noah. You know, sure, I guess he's a young guy. Methuselah. You know, I'm a young man. Okay, it's all relative. And then, so, you know, that's the... measles nonsense there, that you get that too. It's just interesting. So how old is too old to be president? I'm a young man. I identify as a young man. You know, he's a salesman. So he says they've got to get their shots. Vaccinations are so important. Oh my goodness. You know, just a salesman. I just feel like, you know, I was on the National Intel Report yesterday for a little bit. And I think it was actually before the show when John and I were talking earlier yesterday that I said I just feel like he's basically in over his head. He's been overwhelmed by this. You know, in the conversation, basically the context was something along the lines of, from my perspective, what I was saying was, when you look through history, the intrigue and deception that's been operating from behind the scenes for such a long time, you know, things that people have said, what FDR said, what Woodrow Wilson wrote, what Teddy Roosevelt wrote, what Benjamin Disraeli wrote in Coningsby. You see these, this sort of echo, this thematic echo. And what happened to JFK, obviously, you know, assassinated in broad daylight. And, you know, that's another interesting thing. I opened the broadcast and said some things, and, you know, I mentioned Otto Berman and the mob, basically. And so, you know, when they're about to kill you, they throw a party for you in mafia fashion. You know, let's have a presidential motorcade with the roof down on a sunny day, rolling through Dealey Plaza. It's going to be great. You know they're going to kill you. When they have a party for you and you think, "What? Why are we having a party exactly?" You know, you think about that in the award shows. I thought about that when they threw a party for Eddie Murphy. You know, when they make a museum for Christianity, throwing a party for you. They're about to kill you. Big party in mob fashion, you know? So when you think about the things that have gone on throughout history and, you know, presidential assassinations, for example, that always seem to have some element of monetary intrigue in the backdrop somewhere, if not the foreground, then you start to, you know, we should be asking questions and paying attention to these things that we're led to believe are anomalies, but just because we've lost sight of history and we have a 20-second attention span, they're not anomalies. So, you go back through history and there are these echoes, you know, same thing. The president's assassinated. Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, Kennedy. We've talked about that in the past, how there were, you know, there were echoes of monetary intrigue in the backdrop. And so anyway, you have this, you know, Tradecraft and you know, Philip Drew administrator, Edward Mandel House, how administrators run things from behind the scenes. We'll have to get back to the Kennedy at some point and how there was just, I mean, skull and bones, skullduggery, and the CIA really starting to flourish in the JFK era, I would say. And, you know, stuff going on in Cuba and Vietnam and here and there, and skull and bones running Vietnam, essentially, and Kennedy disagreeing. I've mentioned how, you know, what John Judge said about, you know, his mom being a number cruncher in the Pentagon, and basically the Monday after the Friday that JFK was assassinated was when we were told that there were going to be thousands of troops rolling into Vietnam and to expect the casualty rate to be somewhere around 40,000. So you think of that kind of skullduggery that's operating behind the scenes, and you just, you know, I think it was, didn't Lincoln say something like, I have two great enemies, the South to my front and the banks to my rear, something like that. And you just, you know, it's hard to imagine with all of this tradecraft and all of this intrigue and deception, double and triple cross kind of nonsense going on, how in the world go to the Wikipedia entry for presidential assassination attempts and plots. Abraham Lincoln, Alan Pinkerton's National Detective Agency played a key role in protecting the president-elect by managing Lincoln's security throughout the journey. So if you're familiar with the history of the Pinkerton agency and Alan Pinkerton, then you go, oh yeah, well, no wonder he was assassinated. You know, you got to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You know, so then again, you know, if that theme persists, then no wonder JFK's in a motorcade that has the top down and security stand down and, you know, there's nobody around. Again, that's one of the echoes, one of the harbingers, you know. They throw a party for you and then suddenly there are no security people around. Just ask Bobby Kennedy. Suddenly the security detail melts into the woodwork. Where'd all my security guys go? All right, Mr. President, or, you know, would be president in Bobby's Kennedy, in Bobby's case, we're supposed to go right, but we're going to go left. Why are we doing that? Where did all my security guys go? Anyway, it's hard to imagine if Donald Trump had any fortitude that it would be exercisable in these situations. It's just probably a dizzying spectrum of tradecraft, deception, and intrigue and so on. That's just my own speculation. Back to the phones. Paul in New Jersey, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul.
You know, Chris, when I voted for Trump, I voted for him because, you know, if you think about most of our lives, you know, it's always been a politician running for office and some lawyer who's been steeped in, like, political skullduggery, where I thought, well, let's give a business guy a chance, you know, because we've always thought, you know, we might get a John Galt type of independent person in there who would be able to get things done and use at least some of the economics of running a business and employing that to government to make the government more streamlined. That's what I was hoping for. That's one of the things
yeah.
I was hoping for. And obviously that hasn't happened. I don't see much streamlining in the government. He's run up the debt, so he's failed there. And it's really, it shows the shallowness of his character, you know, his administration, his ineffectiveness, you know.
Yeah.
And basically not delivering as promised, you know, except he does deliver to Sheldon Adelson. That,
yeah.
to, you know, the guy with the most campaign money. And so in a sense, why should I be surprised for that? He's a capitalist. He's a moneyist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's a busyness man.
Yeah.
Busy. And he, yeah. And think how busy and ineffective. It really shows, in a sense, he is kind of like a businessman. Because, you know, my wife now works in an airport, a private airport, and she's watching all these wealthy people come in on their private jets. And then they get directly from the private jet because they don't want to see any normal people, you know. So
yeah.
Straight from the jet, they go straight into the limo and they're carted out to their destination, usually over in Princeton or somewhere. And so, you know, that's one of the things you always think these business people, they're always claiming, oh, we're doing it for the bottom line. We're doing it to give as most money to the shareholders. That's what you would hope, right?
Right.
That's not the reality. They pad themselves like you wouldn't believe with their private jets, their incredible meals, flying around back and forth very inefficiently, and living what I consider a parasitic lifestyle off of the shareholders. And so Donald Trump is a businessman. He's a businessman. Now, he's not an environmentalist. If he was an environmentalist or a scientist, he'd come out and say, hey, we got to get these plastics out of the ecosystem, because that's a real big potential ecological disaster in the making. You know, the amount of plastics just dumping into the ocean throughout the world. And, of course, to a businessman, the environment is nothing. It doesn't matter to them, because they'll have their little, you know, low-wage servants clean up all the garbage on his golf course, and they'll bury the garbage on the landfill, maybe at the 10th green. And it's all buried, and they don't see it, and it's a superficial facade, just like his buildings, and the low quality of his buildings, if you've ever seen one.
Yeah.
Right? It's a facade. And that's what American business is. Our buildings are big sugar donuts. You know, like the previous caller talking about the particle board we slap all over the place. There's really no substance. Everything's just a veneer of nothing, of delivering garbage to just take the maximum amount of money for themselves and then squander it on their private hedonism.
Yeah.
You know, and so, listen, this is the character of the man. And it's from being steeped in that lifestyle his whole life. He's not you. He's not reading what you read or what I read. He's not on our level. He's on a busyness level. He's not a philosopher. He's not a lover of wisdom. He's a lover of getting, of making the deal and getting.
Mm-hmm.
See? Delivering nothing but only to himself. And he might have his own little gilded palace on top of the penthouse over at Trump Towers that he enjoys, you know, with gold fixtures and all the rest of that, and beautiful embossed marble and you know, gilding for himself. But to everybody along, it's just about getting for himself. And this is what we got, and this is the character of the man we chose. So we have to be more careful next election cycle who we pick. But I will admit this. Who knows what the world would have been like if Hillary Clinton had won? You know, I will admit that. He is, from my opinion, the lesser of the two evils.
But
but a flawed character nonetheless.
Yeah.
So, like I urge people to do, it's time to shop. And nothing would be better for the public spectacle, which he so loves, to see Trump be humiliated next year and voted out and replaced with just about anybody. Even to me, I'll even vote for Bernie Sanders. I really will instead of Trump.
Listen, yeah, that
it's right, but it's like, you know, this saying about how politicians are like dirty, you know, like your underpants. You got to change them frequently. You know, it's so it might be Bernie Sanders, but then again, it'll only be 4 years of Bernie Sanders, and Bernie coming in firing all of Trump's neocons. Now that's the whole point too. It's only two more years. Let's hope he doesn't let the neocons do what they want to do with either Iran, Venezuela, or wherever their machinations have scheduled.
Yeah, right? But again, it's, you know, Philip Drew administrator pulling strings from behind the scenes, making things happen. And, you know, this cult of personality of folks that really don't have any, I think one of the biggest problems that we have is that the folks that would be potential candidates have really no background, it seems, in no substantive background in American politics, if I could call it that. And what to me harkens back to our roots. You know, we're encouraged to drift from our roots and to move forward in this socialist, collectivist mindset, and it just doesn't serve America well. I don't see anybody that makes a significant break from that. And so, you know, one of the things, speaking of Bernie, that I mentioned when I was on the National Intel Report yesterday, was that I saw, we were talking about the money stuff, and I saw that, I mentioned that I had seen that a couple of days ago Bernie Sanders tweeted, the boomer generation needed just 306 hours of minimum wage work to pay for 4 years of public college. Millennials need 4,459. That's more than a tenfold increase. The economy today is rigged against working people and young people. That is what we're going to change. And so, you know, speaking of that, Robert Kiyosaki says the system is rigged against savers. Kiyosaki recently published his book, Fake Money, Fake Teachers, Fake Assets, How Lies Are Making the Poor and Middle Class Poorer. Some people might consider it ironic that Kiyosaki published a book titled Fake, especially considering the Donald Trump alliance, but whatever. So Bernie says, you know, the economy today is rigged against working people and young people. That is what we are going to change. And so my first thought was, are you going to introduce legislation to abolish the Federal Reserve? Is that what we're doing? That's awesome, because inflation is the issue. Inflation is what is producing these disparities. And I asked John while we were talking about the money thing yesterday, do you have the clip of Alan Greenspan saying there is no problem, the U.S. can pay, you know, its debts because the Federal Reserve can print as much money as it wants anytime. Back in 2011, do I remember that? I mean, people should be shocked. So, you know, the issue of inflation is what is creating these disparities. The central banking scheme and the not federal, not reserve, which admits, you know, the St. Louis Fed website still says today, the Federal Reserve is not, italicized, not a part of the federal government. If we're not going to address this issue, then what is Bernie going to do that will make any significant dent in the issue of inflation? You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree with that. But that's why I almost like Andrew Yang's theory, where basically we do inflate and use the inflation to pay off the debt, because as is, we're never going to pay it off anyway.
Alan Greenspan says that we can, you know, I wish we had time to play that clip. We'd play it. Now we're out of time, darn it.
Well, I'll call you
folks
next week.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it, as always. Folks, I hope you have a great weekend. If you're not familiar with that clip that I'm talking about, go listen to Alan Greenspan say the Federal Reserve can print, you know, there's no problem with debt or credit rating, when he was on Meet the Press back in 2011. The United States can pay any debt because we can always print more money. Do you understand the implications? And there should be questions, right? Well, then why is there a debt? That should be the first question. And what about the inflation that results? Maybe that's the second question. Anyway, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side. Take me to the future
of you all. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.